Golf Smarter number 201 for October 20, 2009.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Live from Harding Park, it's Sunday at the President's Cup.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome and thanks for downloading another episode of the Golf Smarter podcast. A little bit different today, as we do frequently, try new and different things. We are live at Harding Park in San Francisco for the fourth and final day of the President's Cup International Team Tournament. And, you know, you can get all the activity and scores and shots on NBC and the Golf Channel. But what I'd like to do is give you the scenes and the feel of a crowd that you can't get when you're watching it on TV. Now, this is my first ever professional golf tournament, so I'm getting a view of things with wide eyes like a little kid, and it's so much fun. But when you're not watching it on TV, I gotta tell you, it's not as exciting. There's so much going on TV, you can get every single shot. But when you're following a crowd, it's very different. It's very different to get completely into it. But we'll find ways to do it. We'll get into the stands, we'll get in behind the groups, and we'll find out what's going on as we follow a couple different players. We won't follow one specific player, but we'll talk to a lot of people, fans, and maybe even some people behind the scenes. Well, one of the most interesting things that I find on behind the scenes here at the President's Cup is the media room. The media center is absolutely ridiculous. And with me here is Jeffrey Bayer of Media Services. Jeffrey, explain to me what this room is and how it's utilized.
This is one of the coolest press rooms I've ever been in. We have, maybe 40, 50 foot wide by 15, 20 foot tall screens, three screens. Has the scoring. In the middle is this great high-def photo image television. And the reporters can come in here. They can do their work. Everything is a wireless internet in here. They can watch the round as it goes. Or they can go out and they have these kangaroo TVs we're giving out to the media this week. It's a new product that's on the market, and it weighs about 5 ounces. So we're checking these out to the guys in the media room that want to go take this out there. So they can be in here, get everything live on TV, go out on the course. This is unbelievable. Where the technology has taken us today, the only thing that's interesting still is we're still giving them a lot of paper. We're doing all the quotes, all the interviews. We transcribe everything. After every interview, we have a court stenographer that types away. And as soon as the interview is over, we get the copy. Our copy room, I was told the other day that we have the firepower of the largest law firm in San Francisco in there. We have four huge copy machines. Last night they were all going at once, making on one of the documents was like 29 pages. It's a 29 page set, and it's just incredible. It's an unbelievable setup.
It's amazing. So right now what I see here is, you know, you would think when you read reports about what happened or you listen to reports on the radio of what happened, you get the sense that the reporters are actually out on the golf course following what's going on. But for someone who's never been to a professional golf tournament, you can't cover everything all at once. So here in this media center, it looks like it's about 10 rows deep, and you have, about 20 across?
We have, I believe, 220 or so spots, cubicles in here.
Okay, and at each cubicle you have AC and you've got wireless internet, so all these laptops are set up, and you've got a number of members of the press who are sitting here actually watching the event on television and conversing with their colleagues about, you know, how they want to report it, to talk about it, and taking notes. So what you're seeing, what they write about on Monday morning, is actually they're sitting in a big room like a big TV room.
They've taken, you know, the golf course and made it into a press box like you'd be at a football game, where you're sitting on the 50-yard line watching the game, and you have instant replay, and you have all the stats come at you. Most of these people, almost, I would say all of them, pretty. I don't know anybody that's just sat in here. I don't think anybody's just done that. So everybody gets up and goes out at some point. And there's a point during the day where the room's empty, you know, pretty much empty. And then there's a point where it fills up. And then there's another point where the interview room is, you know, there's nothing going on in there. And all of a sudden, there's this herd making its way in to see Tiger or Greg Norman or Freddie Couples or whatever it is. So, you know, it's a fully functioning press room, and it's an incredibly interactive press room. The technology has made it that way, and why not? I mean, that's the technology is there, should be used.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Good luck today.
Thank you.
All right, I'm standing behind the first tee. Wow, you really do want to whisper when you're doing these things. I'm standing behind the first tee box, and I think Zach Johnson is just being introduced. Coming up next will be Tiger, who just actually walked by with his caddy. He went back towards the clubhouse. Yeah, Tiger's big, but his caddy is bigger. I couldn't believe how big Steve was. All right. I'm also going to want to catch the sounds of the crowd. I think that you can learn a lot from listening to a crowd and know exactly what is going on. It's amazing how the crowds bulge when Tiger's there, obviously. But then as soon as he passes by, whoever's behind him, you can get really close to them. Mayor Gavin Newsom just taking a step in a couple steps ahead of Tiger. So the buzz is building as Tiger, and everyone knows Tiger's getting closer. People are starting to push. They're starting to group and try to get to close to the ropes as they possibly can. So Tiger's going to be teeing up next, and he's coming by now to he's being harassed by a friend I just bumped into. Anyway, Tiger's on his way over to so my friend's in the clothing business, and he goes, here comes Tiger. He goes, hey, this looks like a 40 long. I think he's a little bit bigger than a 40. So here comes Tiger now, and you get the sense, hands in pocket, Stevie two steps ahead of him, Tiger's head down, not making eye contact with the crowd. So that was the sound of Tiger entering the first tee box. And let's, here it is. Followed closely by Y.E. Yang, head down, not looking at the crowd. That was the introduction for Y.E. Yang, representing the international team. And the next you'll hear is the introduction to the United States, Tiger Woods. The sound of Tiger teeing off here, and then we'll move on. Oh, and you can tell from that sound that that was not a good tee shot by Tiger, but of course there's going to be some idiots go, get in the hole, and it's a par five. But when the volunteers all stand around with their hands up in the air, it goes silent. It's really impressive to see that. All right, Y.E. Yang is teeing off next, and let's see what the crowd reaction is to his shot. So apparently Tiger did not have a very good shot, and we'll follow down the fairway with the hordes and see what we can find out for you. Now, the second hole on this course is actually the 11th, because they've made some rearrangements of the course to arrange to take advantage of match play when they thought it was going to end. So for someone who, like myself, I love Harding Park. I love playing this course. It's really weird to be on the second hole here, but it's actually, for me, 11. All right, we're standing now on the fairway of number 3, the approach shot. And Zach Johnson's about to hit. And again, you can tell what's going on just by listening to the crowd. Oh, he's right. The anticipation, the fear, the wait, and then the applause. You could tell. He made it onto the green. What's your name?
My name's Dennis.
Hey, Dennis, where you live?
I live here in San Francisco.
Okay, so this is pretty exciting to have.
Yeah, it really is.
The 24 best players in the world come out here, and is Harding Park your course?
Yeah.
You play here frequently?
Well, I haven't played lately, but you know, I grew up on this golf course, and it's always been a gem for the city.
Absolutely. Now, you've got to have some great memories of the old course versus what the course is today. Mm-hmm. Are they radically different courses?
Yeah, quite a bit. Quite a bit.
How so?
Well, all of the holes are totally different. You know, it's like, I can't remember, this is three.
Well, this is three today, but last week it was three, right? It was like 12.
It was, you know, so it's like, but the course is still the same. They all play differently, and it's, I understand the reason why they have the setup the way it is. So, and it plays well. You know, it's kind of nice to come out here and see where I hit a ball and then see the 24 greatest golfers in the world hit the trees. And
isn't it great to see them hit the trees?
Yeah,
I love that.
It really is, you know. And but
I can do that.
They recover. You know, there were a couple of...
That's the difference.
Tiger played the other day. He played like me. On five, he hit his.
You wish.
He hit his drive into the fairway on six,
right.
And played through on six. You know, to come back on five. So it's, you know, it's been enjoyable. I've really enjoyed the whole tournament.
So growing up, coming out to this course, did you ever get to see professional golf here in the old days?
I saw Ken Venturi play out here. I've seen Arnold Palmer. Jack Nicklaus, you know, go back quite a ways, you know, so it's like Gary Player was out here. So I've seen, you know, quite a few of the greats, you know.
So explain to me, is it the thrill of seeing the great players walk by you, or is there something about watching golf live at the event, not on TV, that is so special
for
you?
Well, to be honest, it's just seeing the players walk by. Golf, I think, is the perfect sport for television. Although I do enjoy being out here and watching it, it's both. You know,
I just wanted to know the audience know that it's obvious you're a native. You're wearing shorts.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was born in Chicago. I helped my parents move out here when I was three, so I grew up in the city. And you know, I used to live right here in the Sunset. I grew up in the Sunset, and I'm proud of it. And you know, this is typical San Francisco weather.
Yeah.
You know, to most people that are all bundled up, this is a nice, comfortable day for me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's true. Golf on TV is a lot better than it is in
you
purpose.
Know, it's nice to sit in your living room and see all of the great shots, and you know, you can only see a few. Like, you know, we see the second shot into the green. We're on television. You get the whole scope, the whole picture.
Well, the crowd behind you here looks like it's
this
moving.
This is the stampede.
Yeah, here
this
comes
is Tiger.
Yeah, Tiger's coming, but everybody seems to be moving back. Is that because they're moving the truck, or is somebody hit an errant shot?
I think somebody might have hit an errant shot. Yeah, they're moving us.
They're moving us out of the line. So it looks like we got. You know, Tiger's first tee shot went hard to the left. This one looks like it didn't turn as much on. I hate this hole, personally, because I always hit it into the trees here because my ball goes to the right. My ball fades to the right, and so the way it starts, it ends up right in these trees. Right now I'm with Joe Balboa, who is a volunteer, right?
Yeah.
But you're
working for NBC.
Yeah, he's a volunteer working for NBC. Oh, the hands are up. That means we can't talk, huh? We can whisper.
Okay.
This is Golf Broadcast. And Joe is actually a Golf Smarter listener, and he's working out all week here at the President's Cup. What exactly is it you're doing, Joe?
I'm doing scoring for NBC for the telecast. So what I do is basically follow each group of players every day and just mark down how many shots they're through each hole. And then at the end of the hole for today, I give their aggregate score.
So are you like a checks and balances thing? They got to double check with your scoring to make sure that they're right?
Exactly, yeah. They reconcile my scores with the official walking score. So everybody fact checks each other. And worst case, if we all screw up, we can always go to the caddies.
And they're keeping score as well.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
The official score, that's a card that has to be signed.
Correct.
Right. So how large is the entourage that is following each player? And I don't mean their personal entourage. I mean the PGA entourage.
It's quite huge.
And TV.
Yeah, with everybody. Well, I would say that you would think Tiger would have a lot of people, but Ryo Ishikawa has the most people because all you see are a sea of Canon and Nikon DSLRs everywhere. And
so once, Japanese press is
right, Japanese press. And once you get to the green, it's hard to position yourself because you have to navigate through so many photographers to get to a good place on the green to watch without standing. Because when you're crouched down and you're old like me, it's hard to get up every single time.
Old like us. So what do you have to do? Let's start walking now. They've hit the ball. What is it that you have to do when you get up to the green? Do you have to be visible or invisible?
Well, usually if you want to, and you know, you can keep track of the scores actually from the cart paths, but sometimes when I can't get a good view, I mean, you try to get the best view of the shots going to the flag, but sometimes it's not possible because you're either, you know, there's too many people and you can't get a good position. So sometimes what I do is just listen to the crowd noise. So you can tell, like, if you hear groans, like, oh, okay, he missed the birdie chance. Or if you hear lots of applause and shouting, you know, somebody made a good shot.
What we've been doing all day is just listening to the crowd sound. I've always loved that you can tell what's going on in a hockey game or a baseball game just by listening to the sounds. Well, it's even more evident here.
Right.
Exactly what's going on just by listening to the crowd sounds.
Exactly. So it's kind of a help. But, okay, for example, here we're on hole number 4. They've just hit their second shots, and I'm, you know, about almost 200 yards away. So actually, I can observe from here if I wanted to, just to see what the action is and go to the next hole because it's adjacent to it. But they kind of want you close. But if you want to get on TV, you can be close.
I don't want to be on TV. So have you been following the same guy all week?
No, actually, you get assigned different groups, and they kind of try to spread around, you know, the love for Tiger Woods, and that one person gets him every single day.
Right.
So I was lucky enough to have Tiger in the afternoon group on Saturday, so that was a really fun experience.
Any stories you can, come on, there's got to be a story or two from this weekend you can share that no one would ever hear elsewhere.
Oh, that's in the part two for the Golf Smarter podcast members. So. Well, I better go do this one and let's. And
all right, we'll talk to you later. We're going to get that story out of you at some point during the show.
Okay. All right. See you, friend.
Just curious. We're over at the 15 now, and you guys are all standing here, and nothing's happening. How long have you been standing here?
I've only been here for a few minutes, actually.
I've been here for about 20 minutes.
Have you seen any groups tee off yet?
Yeah, we saw Kenny Perry tee off, and then we saw Zen Ishikawa, and then I saw Anthony Kim tee off as well, so it's a good spot.
And how long are you planning on waiting here?
I'll probably, once Tiger comes through, then I'll head back somewhere else.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's it. It's just getting good position, because we're actually only about 12, 15 feet from the tee box. So
it's a good spot to get up close, and then you can just go off from here.
So how are they cutting the? Are they cutting the corner, or they're drawing the ball
on the left, and the big hitters are going right over the cypresses and just killing the ball. It's fun to watch.
Let's see who's stepping up now. We've got Darren Clark and Zach Johnson coming up to the tee box here. Tim Johnson. Tim Clark.
Yeah.
What do you think? I pay attention to this crap. Thanks. Zach Johnson is teeing up right now. And let's see what the crowd reaction is, if you can tell what he did on this very long par 5.
Get the low.
So compared to what you've seen so far, how was that?
That one wasn't quite as far, but I mean, he kept it low and he hit it hard. But the other ones were definitely farther out there.
And now we have to wait another 10, 15 minutes, and Tiger's next?
Yeah, yeah.
And you'll feel the bulge as this crowd...
Exactly. Get pushed forward here.
So we're still at the 5th tee, and Tiger's group is heading over, and you can tell because people are starting to run over here in a large mass trying to get a position. But again, I stuck where I was at about 12, 15 feet from the tee box. Tiger's stepping out. People are plotting. Tiger's first off the tee. They're all square after 4.
Jesus Christ.
I can see it.
Okay, so you've seen Umbra. We've talked before. What do you think of that one?
That was higher and farther. Yeah, than the other one.
Far left, I think.
And here's Wai Yang.
Go, Tiger!
Hi, Tiger.
Go, what? 2016.
Run, Gavin, run! Hey, it looks like you got one of the free souvenirs.
What happened to you?
Apparently, I got pepper. Yeah. Who are you with?
This is audio, so no one can tell the picture. You want to describe what happened to your jacket? Actually, I should ask your buddy. What happened to his jacket?
What happened was Tiger got a hold of that hole. The bird got so excited, it let loose. It landed right down his back.
Oh, don't wipe it off. That's tiger poop.
Free memento that'll have for years to come.
Hi, what's your name? Rule number one, never ask people what their name is when they have food in their mouth.
Annie Fahey.
Hi, Annie Fahey. Where are you from?
San Francisco.
Oh,
are
you
a
golfer?
I used to live in
Georgia. Well, welcome.
I'm a golf aficionado.
You are?
Mm-hmm. So I like anything where you have to whisper.
Are you a librarian?
I'm a drug and alcohol counselor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can imagine you like whispering.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do you know who just stepped up on the green?
Ogilvy and...
Stricker?
Stricker, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Stricker.
Yeah.
Have you been following them all day, or are you just going all over the course?
Well, you know, we had our first... We had to see Tiger, so we watched him practice putting, and then we're just walking around. I love golf courses because... I used to smoke pot and go on them at night. So. Right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Okay.
I actually went to college right across the street, and I never jumped the fence when I lived in the dormitory across the street.
You missed out.
I know. My bad.
Oh, you did.
Have you ever seen golf in person before?
No.
What do you think so far?
I love it. It's beautiful. It's like poetry.
How so?
It's so precise, and everybody's so focused, and there's all this focus around the focus. It's beautiful.
Awesome. Well, they're about to putt. It looks like Ogilvy's got a longer putt, and he's going to go first, probably about 45 feet or so. Let's listen to the crowd and see how they react to his putt. So although somebody yelled, hit it, get legs, it just kept rolling and rolling and rolling and ended up 6 inches to the left of the pin. Stricker picked up the ball and tossed it to Ogilvy. So either Stricker puts it in or they go all square on this hole. Let's hear what it sounds like when Stricker putts. Interesting. He's probably got about 25, 30 feet. And he's lining up right now behind his marker. But he went up to about 5 feet and did some practice putts right there to see where the line was. Very interesting way to do it. Is try your line from 5 feet away where it's going to come in from, what kind of speed, and then step back. Interesting. I'm going to try that. That didn't even reach the pin. And went much farther left. He was probably about 12 inches left and about 2.5 feet away. Ogilvy's going to make him putt it. Standing over on the side of the green is the Internationals captain, Greg Norman. Stricker's going to have to line this putt up. He's got to make it or he loses the hole. It's nice to see a pro coming up short. You just feel better about your own game, right? John O'Hare on the ninth green of par 3. He's up by 2 with about a 30-foot putt. Let's listen to the crowd.
Go, 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 go.
Oh, nice.
Couldn't you tell that didn't go in? But it was close. Kenny Perry tuning off. What do you think happened there? That one came up short and went in the bunker. Love the crowd sounds. Kenny Perry in the bunker at number 9, par 3. Had to stand on his tippy toes to see over the top of it. He's near the front part of the closest part of, to the pin from the bunker. Nice easy shot. Nice touch.
Shot. All right. Bravo.
So he forces Ishikawa to make this putt, but he still has about a 7-8 foot putt to go. And stepping up to the center ring of this 12-ring circus, Tiger Woods is coming up to number 9 after sinking a 25-foot putt for birdie to go 3 up after 8. And we're at a par 3, number 9. And the crowds are running over to try to get a view, but there are people like myself who've been sitting at the 9th green. I'm in the stands. And we've been sitting here for well over an hour just to wait for Tiger to come up. He's stepping up to his ball now. So we've watched a lot of players hit the ball here. They're playing it safe. They go to the middle of the green. Let's see what the crowd reaction tells you about what Tiger does with this shot.
Uh-oh.
In the middle of his backswing, Tiger stepped away. And he looks annoyed. He was in the backswing. Everyone was quietly waiting, and somebody said something, or a camera went off. It's really interesting. When we're back on number 5, you could hear somebody about 40, 50 feet away talking, and there was just this energy directed directly towards them that you could tell it wasn't happy. Tiger steps up again. Here's what happens. Not the best shot at this green, but probably one of the closest. Just past the hole, about 20 feet away to the right of the pin. Everyone's going to the right of the pin, which is toward the center, since the pin is on the left side of the green. And that was a reaction to Tiger walking up to the green. There's no question there's a sense of awe and amazement watching Tiger at work. The crowd is just rapt attention, knowing they're seeing one of the greatest players of all time. And here's Tiger on number 9, par 3, for his second shot. Just hung there for the longest time and then dropped. Everybody, you could tell. You could just tell. He is on his putting today. Unbelievable. Phenomenal job by Tiger Woods on number 9. 2 birdies in a row. All right, Joe. So we're meeting up again. You just had some excitement there. On what hole was that?
This was hole number 10. Actually, what happened was that both of the guys, Zach Johnson and Tim Clark, got to the green in 2, but they had really long putts for birdie. And Clark was away, so he went and he made his birdie putt. It was a right-to-left breaker. And when he sank it, Zach just looked at him and with that look of, okay, what am I going to do now? Because, you know, he's going to go up 6 perhaps. But Johnson stepped up and sank his birdie putt.
Awesome, awesome. So listen, as a Golf Smarter listener, but as a golfer, are you learning anything today? Are you, you know, this weekend you're out with these guys, you're watching them, you're watching their rhythm, their pacing. What are you taking away from this?
I need to go on Craigslist and sell all my stuff. It's just incredible to watch. You know, any professional athlete, it's just great to watch how they do their thing. And it's just amazing to watch. But, you know, when I was working, I was configuring stuff for Cisco routers and such like that. I bet these guys can't do that.
No, they probably can't. They probably have trouble someone else using their computers for them. But no, is there something that you're going to incorporate into your game that you're going to take away from this?
Actually, I was just watching their swing tempo, and I know you had a segment with the guy that sells a device for...
Yeah, the tour tempo.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
We're still selling them. Yay. Yeah. Still great prices on those.
Yeah, because when I play, I see a wide variety of swing tempos, and I try to think, it should be even going up and down. But some of the golfers I played with that go really slowly back and then come through really quickly, they do very well because they've adjusted to that type of tempo. So I think I need to work on that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I've been using the tour tempo now, and it has really had a very big impact on my the results, but also on my swing. My contact has been much better.
Right.
Getting that 3-to-1 that John Novosel was talking about on tour tempo, and like you said, we still have them for sale at the Golfer's Mart.
Yeah, that's,
you should check one out.
Yeah, that's really great that he's giving that offer to the listeners. You know?
All right. So listen, I'm going to get you now. What's that story you wouldn't tell me earlier?
Oh, well, looks like they're about to hit, so I got to go.
We may never get this story.
Well, we'll get to it eventually, so don't worry about it.
Joe Balboa, Golf Smarter listener and volunteer for NBC today. What's your name?
John Lopez.
Hey, John, and you're volunteering today, right?
Yes, I'm a golf link operator.
So tell me exactly what you're doing.
I'm measuring the drives from the tee box, and it gives me the distance on the drive, and it also gives me the distance to the green.
So what is this unit that you've got set up?
ShotLink. That's ShotLink. It's PGA's equipment.
Okay, and is it, it looks like underneath it there's a little yellow mark on the ground.
It's triangulated to the satellites every morning, so it gives me exact distance by shooting the ball. It translates it to distance, which goes to a trailer, which then goes to the announcers to give them the distance to that they get the drives.
So you can't move this thing. This is set up.
Well, if I move it, I have to readjust it. I have to re-triangulate it.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Cool. So when they talk about how far they hit the drive, what they have to do for their next shot, that's all information that you're feeding them?
Right off. Every one of us. Every hole has got a shot link gun.
Hey, Michael, can I ask a couple questions or two?
Have a good one, sir.
Huh? Well, how was that? How was that, man? I just got up to Michael Jordan, and he walked right by. That would have been fun, but forget it. And while I was chasing him, Condoleezza Rice drove by the other way. Ah, the power of podcasting. The sound is a little bit different here because we're now in the store. What is any professional sport event without the branded material? From T-shirts to hats. Oh, my God, the amount of hats they have. Towels. Oops, somebody just threw their hat into my feet. And little thing, koozie cups. Wine coolers. Oakley sunglasses. And then the names. Adidas. Greg Norman. Nike. Wow, lots and lots of money being exchanged in here. People got to leave with their souvenirs. See if we can talk to somebody. Tell me your name and who you're with, please.
My name is Sheila Costello. I'm the president of East Holes Custom Footbeds.
Now, you know, there's so much branded product here that says President's Cup. I don't see that on your product.
No, you don't see President's Cup on our product. East Holes is a custom footbed designed to help you with your comfort and overall performance on the golf course. Insoles and inserts for your golf shoes, walking shoes, ski boots, running shoes.
Let's talk about golf shoes, and because I've not found most golf shoes very comfortable for someone with like back issues, and just if you don't walk a lot and you're out on the golf course walking...
Sure, especially out on the golf course walking. A lot of golf shoes are very stable. They're a very stable platform to swing with. And the golf shoe companies are making great strides to increase their comfort of the shoes. But what eSoles perfects is the actual customization of the inside of the golf shoe, which will help make the golf shoe even more comfortable for you, walking and riding the golf car as well.
So it customizes it for your foot. It's getting fitted even more than just getting the right size on a shoe.
Correct, yes. We look at the bottom contours of your feet, whether you have high arches, low arches, medium arches, and we do that through our eSoles scanning kiosk.
All right, so we're standing here at an easel scanning kiosk. Tell me about the process.
Okay, it's going to take about 10 or 12 minutes for you to run through this process. We take a 2D image, and we also take a 3D image of your feet, and then we map those two images together and make the best possible footbed for you. So take your shoes off, and we'll run you through the process.
All right, well, I'll do this. I don't know if we're going to record all of this, but we'll get the highlights of it at the very least.
Sure. Yep. We've already taken a 2D image of your foot. Now we're going to take an actual 3D image of your foot. And we do that by placing your foot on that biodynamic air pillow, and that's going to inflate from underneath your foot, and then we'll take an actual 3D image of your foot. So here we have both the 2D and the 3D images of a foot that we've captured. The white image on top is the actual 3D image that we've captured from the air pillow, and you can see the different shapes and contours of your feet. And this is also available to you online. We'll send you an email that you can actually look at online this afternoon to see your actual 2D and 3D image of your foot. So to make your footbeds, we overlap all of that data on top of itself to make both a semi-custom and a fully custom footbed. The semi-custom footbed is based around the best possible fit for your actual foot, and that's derived from algorithms that we have run based on over 100,000 different fittings that we have done for various people. You also have the opportunity to purchase the ePro custom footbed, which is almost like your fingerprint, very, very specific to your foot and as accurate as we can make it. And we have many, many players on tour who wear that footbed. Camilo Villegas, Ian Poulter, Mark Calcavecchia, guys like that.
So the end result of this, what is the benefit? What happens for the person wearing that shoe?
Increased comfort, increased performance through better balance, lower risks of lower back pain, knee pain, and overall fatigue.
Now, I put down that I wear a 9. Sometimes I wear a 9.5. It depends on the shoe.
We don't actually tell you your shoe size. We tell you your foot size. So what they stamp inside the shoe can vary from one company to the other company, but your foot size does not vary. So we measure your foot size and tell you that in a different scenario.
So if I get a shoe that's a 9.5, this is still going to fit my foot?
Yes, it will still fit your foot.
Perfect.
We measure your foot. The materials that we actually use on our eFit product, once they match up to your body temperature, will even conform even more so, providing you an even more customizable fit. Okay, and there you go. That's your eFit custom footbed.
That's phenomenal. Thank you very much, Sheil. I wish you best of luck. And you sure I can't get one that says President's Cup on it?
Not right now. Maybe next time.
All right. Now we're going to wrap it up. Joe Balboa, who's a Golf Smarter listener and our man inside the ropes with the NBC hat this weekend,
yeah,
at the President's Cup. So tell me how yours finished up and what you loved about it.
What I loved about it was Timmy Clark's performance throughout the whole day. He got 8 birdies today.
Wow.
So that was pretty amazing. But Zach picked it up in the last 6 holes here with 5 birdies himself. So it's pretty darn exciting.
Pretty remarkable. Okay, I promise, if I have to, I'll bleep it. What is the story?
Wait,
come on.
I need to answer a question that you asked me before, like how many people follow each group. And I sat down and counted them.
Oh.
So it looks like it was around 18 normally, you know, the TV crew.
Yeah.
And the walking scorer and standard bearer and, you know, the wives and the cops and all that kind of stuff. And then they add security as we get closer to finish the hole. The PGA has their own security force and they can't come along with us. But actually, I have another thing that happened on, let's see, what hole.
Does your scorecard look like this when you play golf?
Of course.
You write down all kinds of stuff?
No. Yeah, well, actually,
about
I
your
do.
Game?
Yeah, that's how geeky I am. But on 13, when Tiger and Y.E. Yang were on the 13th green, there was two, I think, Code Pink protesters, and they held up banners. Yeah, we heard about them. So the police officer that was with our group, her name was Patrice, I had to go cuff one of them.
Really?
Yeah.
No, wait a minute. What's Code Pink?
It's an organization in Berkeley, and they're kind of, you know, left-leaning group, and they like
to... Well, it's Berkeley. It's redundant. But, I mean, what's their point? What are they trying to obviously get on TV, but what were the point they was trying to make?
They just, you know, protest the war and all that kind of stuff. So that's what they're into, and they go to high-profile events. And
so they heard President, and they came this...
Well,
they came out here thinking they're gonna make a political statement.
Yeah, actually, oddly enough, earlier today I heard that there were some protesters walking around, and they were targeting Tiger's group because he has all the TV cameras on him.
Of course.
So that's why they did that at the 12th green, I believe.
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
So, yeah, it was pretty amazing.
All right. I'm not going to let you get away.
Okay.
Come on.
Well, I have all these other bullet points, but like, maybe it's not.
No, we need to get to this story.
Okay.
I did see Michael Jordan. I walked right by him, tried to get an interview. No way. And then as I'm doing that, Condoleezza Rice walked right by me. So
okay.
I got to wave, and they didn't wave back.
Oh, that's
so
stupid.
I get to talk to Joe Balboa.
All right. Well, I saw you in the stands, and I waved. I was like, hey,
yeah,
Fred.
Well,
it's
because I went, Joe!
Yeah. Too bad nobody was putting at that time.
Yeah,
everybody
exactly.
would go, oh, look at that guy.
Yeah.
Right.
GolfSmarter.com. Thank you very much.
Yeah, right.
So you have a story from when you were working with Tiger earlier in the week?
Yeah, actually on Saturday in the afternoon, I was lucky to get on Tiger's group. So we're sitting at, I wrote it down, on hole number 3. And we were at the tee box, and, you know, right when they finished getting off the green at hole 2, we all have to scramble to get into position. And you don't want to stand up because, you know, when you're following Tiger, all you hear is, you know, down in front. And, you know, you have to do it. Otherwise,
it's in the hole.
Yeah, otherwise you'll just get yelled at by the gallery. So we're all crouching down, and I was probably not more than 12 feet away. You know,
from
had,
Tiger?
From Tiger. If I had one of those rangefinders, I could tell you, like, 11.4. but actually, so we were behind Tiger, and we were crouching down. I was with my partner with NBC, and all of a sudden I heard somebody let one out, you know, a pretty good long fart, to put it nicely. And I looked at Jerry, and he didn't notice anything. And then I looked at Tiger, and then all of a sudden I see Steve Stricker walk to the front of Tiger, and he kind of bends down, and he smiles at Tiger. And then the next thing that happens is that Stricker's caddy slowly picks up his bag and steps to the side, maybe two steps aside, and looks at Tiger and kind of smiles at him. And, you know, Tiger's not giving anything up. And I told my friend Jerry, I said, hey, Tiger just farted. And he goes, what?
My God, he's human.
Yeah, exactly. So that was our...
It's all those energy bars coming out.
Right. You know, Tiger winning the match, that wasn't the highlight. That was our highlight.
Tiger farting.
Yeah, exactly. That's how, you know, we're all like...
We waited all day for that.
Yeah. We're all 12-year-olds here.
Yeah, exactly. Bunch of guys.
Exactly.
And nothing better than a fart joke.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it was great talking to you. It was great to meet you. And I hope we get to go out and play sometime. Let's play here.
Yeah, that
Let's
would
play
be
Harding
great.
Park.
That would be great, Fred.
The way it's supposed to be played.
Right. Yeah, with lots of bogeys and double bogeys. No, I'm kidding.
Exactly. No, that's
right.
Our game.
Right.
On this course, are you kidding?
Yeah.
All right, Joe. Thanks so much, buddy.
Okay.
And while we were investigating shoes and sunglasses and all the different products, Tiger finished his matchup after 14. But that has been most of what you're going to see at the President's Cup live from Harding Park in San Francisco. Next week on Golf Smarter for Members Only, comedian Maddie Blake reviews the season and presents the PGA Tour Awards for 2009. Hey, we started a new discussion on our Golf Smarter Facebook group about where you'd like to go for our next Golf Smarter adventure. Please sign in and let us know your thoughts. If you have any questions, quotes, or comments, I'd love to hear from you. Our toll-free Google Voice line is 415-448-6788 or click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.